What I have to say, not just because I'm saying it, because what I intend to speak about is from the Word of God. The only thing that we should be speaking about on these occasions, I think, is from the Word of God. So that's where we'll be going this morning. If you have your Bible, I'm going to be going to a lot of passages. I don't know that I'll give you opportunity to find all those as you go along, but if you want to follow along, that'll be fine too. As Brother Robbie said, the more we read, the better we retain what we are hearing and what we are reading. From the time of creation till the call of Abraham, as far as we know, God did not have a chosen people as such. As a nation was concerned, he did not have a chosen people. God's chosen were those that obeyed. Go back and we look at Adam and Eve. They were given specific instructions on what they were to do and what they were not to do. We go on down to Abel. We know that by faith, Abel knew what was an acceptable sacrifice before God. We look at Enoch. He walked with God. He was pleasing to God. God took him. On down to Noah. Noah was looked upon with favor by God. And Noah did all of the things that God had commanded him. The flood was God's punishment for the sin and the evil that was in the world at that time, the disobedience to God and the way that he wanted them to behave, the things that he wanted them to do. Noah and his family, as you know, were the only ones that were saved from the flood. I'm going to give you three dates today, and you can take these, and they are just approximate. They are not right down to the year, because we really don't know for sure when some of these events happened, but we have a pretty good idea. The flood was about 2300 B.C., somewhere along in that area, maybe 22, 23, somewhere in that time frame. And in Genesis chapter 10, we're given the record of the generations of the sons of Noah after the flood. The earth was repopulated. Nations were established from these descendants. You can read that in Genesis 10th chapter, verse 32. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3, this was the call of Abraham when God began the process of setting up a people for his own, a chosen people. Round numbers, this was around 2000 B.C., around 2000 B.C., the call of Abraham. In Genesis 12, chapter verses 1 through 3, we have the beginnings of God selecting a people for his own. Out of all the nations that populated the earth at this time, God now is going to choose a nation for his own. Reading there from Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God says to Abraham, go forth, or to Abram at this time, go forth. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And you will be a blessing to all the world. And through you, all families of the earth will be blessed. You know this. You've heard this many times. We know that the blessing that God was speaking about here that was going to come through Abraham was the coming of the Messiah. This nation that God was setting up at this time and choosing as his own was to be the one that produced the Son of God and the one that preserved the bloodline down until Christ was born. So what do we find out after God spoke to Abram and told him the things that he was to do? What do we find out Abraham did after that? Well, it says, Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. He went forth and did the things that God had asked him to do. And we see a pattern developing here, I think, that is pretty evident as we go on down through this, that God's assurances to Abram to do the things that he promised to him were conditional upon Abram's obedience. Had Abram said, well, you know, I'm pretty comfortable right here in my country where I'm living now, so I'm just going to stay here and we'll see what comes about. Nothing would have happened if he had chosen not to obey God. This process would not have begun. The assurances of God's blessings and God's divine favor were conditional on Abraham's obedience to God. The Lord said, go forth, and Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. God's assurance to Abram was reinforced throughout Abram's life. In Genesis 15:1, he tells Abram, do not fear. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. In chapter 17 and verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. In 17 and 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. The assurances of the covenant with Abraham were repeated to his son, to his grandson, Isaac and Jacob. And even as they were taken captive into the land of Egypt, God assured them that he would not leave them in Egypt, that they would be brought forth. In Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14, and God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. We go on down through Genesis. It relates for us God's dealing with his chosen people now at this time, preserving them from their enemies, even though they were enslaved in Egypt. And as the book of Genesis, rather, is closed out in verses 15 and 24, on down now to Joseph, who is living down in Egypt. The children of Israel brought down there, enslaved in the land of Egypt. But Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We know that God raised up a deliverer for his chosen people through Moses to bring them up out of Egypt. And he chose at this time to establish his law with them. This law would govern them from now on in their religious life, in their civil life, and in their social life. They were to obey this law. This was to assure them again of his divine favor for them. In Exodus 19th chapter, verses 3 through 6, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how that I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. To all the sons of Israel, to the house of Jacob, the Lord says, you've seen what I've done. You've witnessed it. You know. And now, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession from among all the people. If, obey, keep, then you will be my own possession from all the peoples, from all the nations of the earth, and you will be a kingdom of priests and holy, set apart nation. The assurances of God were unequivocal, and so were his requirements for his chosen people. And so from the time of Moses, and I'll give you another date, round numbers, 1500 BC, the time of Moses. And so from this time to the giving of the law until Christ came, we have recorded for us the history of this nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament. the times of unbelief, the times of disobedience, the times of repentance, returning to God's favor, the times of chastisement, the captivity, the hands of their enemies, through their judges, their kings, their prophets, all recorded for us throughout the Old Testament. And still throughout all of this, still God's chosen people because of the original promise that God had made to Abram, that through you all the nations will be blessed, and to bring forth that blessing in Jesus Christ. This was God's promise to Abram. And throughout all of those years, until the time of Christ, God kept his promise to them. Even though they sinned, they repented, they came back. Throughout all of the judges, the prophets, all of this, God was continually reassuring them of his favor for them as his chosen people. In 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and verse 22, "For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself." He will not abandon the oath, the promise that was given to Abraham. At the same time, reminding them that obedience to him was required. They were his chosen people, but they needed to obey his words as he told them back when he spoke to Moses. Turn with me to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy if you'd like to. This is a long chapter, but I'd like to read a few selected passages from this chapter because this sums up for us the blessings and the curses for the children of Israel. In chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, I'd like to read down through verse 14 and then some other selected verses here. "Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you, to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you will keep my commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, in the produce of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open up for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which will charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." What a blessing that God has promised to the children of Israel for their obedience as his chosen people of God. Down in verse 15 also, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Verse 20, "And the Lord will send you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me." Other verses in this chapter speak of the curses that will come upon the children of Israel for their disobedience. We have on one hand the blessings of God that would come to them, on the other hand the curses that would come upon them for their disobedience. And we see that these things did come about as we read down through the Old Testament and the accounts that are given of the children of Israel, how for their disobedience they were, God chastised them, sent them into captivity. Their enemies were able to overcome them, and they were not at all times pleasing to God in the things that they did and the idols that they served. And God said, I will curse you if you do this. The prophet spoke about the sins of the people, God's promise to return to them again if they return to God. Prophets also spoke of the blessing that was to come by the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Obed, Jesse, David, Solomon, Uzziah, Josiah, Zerubbabel, and down to Joseph and Mary. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 5 through 6, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 6 through 7, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this, and accomplish this he did. According to all the prophets have been written and said, a king for a kingdom, to bring justice and righteousness and salvation, a child to be born in the line of David, upon the throne of David, there would be no end to the increase of his government or of his kingdom, to establish and uphold it from then and forevermore. The prophet Daniel also spoke of this in the second chapter in verse 44, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left to other people. It will crush and put an end to all those kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. The prophets continued to speak of the coming and blessing of the seed of Abraham. All down through the prophets, this was prophesied, his coming. In Luke, the first chapter, in verses 30 and 33, when the angel of the Lord said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. See the fulfillment of this, that God said, through his zeal, he will bring these things to pass. The assurances of God's prophets and promises were accomplished. We see these coming to pass. When Simeon came to the temple in Jerusalem, at the same time that Christ was brought to the temple to be presented, Simeon was there. Let me read some verses for you in Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter, verses 25 through 32. And Simeon came to the temple. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took Jesus into his arms, and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon said that his eyes had seen the salvation now of the people of Israel, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Through all nations would be blessed through the seed of Abraham and the glory of thy people Israel, Israel through which came the blessing, the Son of God. With this assurance of the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, the time had come for the promised blessing to be revealed. When Jesus began his work and he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, the heavens opened, the Spirit came down, descended upon him, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John, writing in the first chapter of his gospel, had these things to say about Jesus. "There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood." Now we begin to see the transition here. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now, children of God are going to be born of God, not born of blood, not born by the will of man, not born according to the flesh. The children of God were now to be based on being born of God, not to be based on being born of the flesh of the children of Israel, the nation that God had chosen. What a great assurance this is for you and for me now, that we are not to be, our salvation does not depend upon being born of the children of Israel, but now we are the chosen of God for all of those that believe in him as the Son of God. John the Baptist's testimony concerning Jesus was, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Apostle Paul gave a clear explanation of this, I think, in Romans, the 9th chapter, and I'd like to read a few verses there for you. Romans, the 9th chapter. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1. "I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, who are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descendants from Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants." And now we see the difference between the old children of God that God chose back when he called Abraham to now our calling. We can see that Israelites were, according to the flesh, were God's chosen, his children, to whom were given the covenants, the law, the temple service, the promise. They were the fathers. They were the lineage from which Christ would be born. They had all of these blessings according to the flesh. But Paul says, not all Israel are those that are descendants from fleshly Israel. There are other now Israels who are not descendants of fleshly Israel. Nor only because they are Abraham's descendants, but now it is the children of the promise that are regarded as descendants. The chosen of God now are the children of promise, not the children of the flesh that was called back when Abraham was called. In the passage that Adam read for us in Ephesians 1st chapter, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have redemption through His blood, forgiveness. After having heard and believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance, looking to the redemption of God's own possession. The children of Israel were God's own chosen. They were God's own people. Now we are God's own chosen people. We are God's own possession. As it has been for the children of Israel to be obedient to the law and to obey God's voice, God's salvation today, the offer of salvation to the new children of promise, you and me, is not without obedience. We're still called to obedience, to be the children of God, to be God's chosen. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to His apostles in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 and 20, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Teach them to observe all my commandments. You see how similar that is to what God told Moses, that they would obey His covenants and listen to His voice. Now He says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In Acts, the 1st chapter, in verse 4, Jesus told the apostles as He gathered with them in Jerusalem to wait in Jerusalem for what the Father had promised. Wait in Jerusalem for what the Father had promised. Chapter 2 and verse 38, 39 verses you can probably quote. After the sermon that Peter preached to them there, to the assembled Jews, and Peter said to them, "Repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." The Jews assembled asked Peter, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" they asked. In these verses, I think we have the promise and the assurance of God, and we also have what God required of them to do. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Is there forgiveness of sins without repentance and baptism? Not according to Peter. And the promise of remission of sins for them that day of Pentecost, for their children, and for all who are far off, which is you and me. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 26 through 29, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Heirs according to the promise. You've been baptized into Christ. You're clothed with Christ. You're now sons of God, all one in Christ, and heirs according to the promise. The promise that we look clear back to Abraham. Clear back to Abraham, the promise that was given by God to him, that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. We're seeing the fulfillment of that promise there. And as Peter says, that promise was for you, for all those that are far off, even down unto us today. Earthly assurances will all pass away. The assurances that we might receive here on earth will either pass away when those that give us those assurances do them, or when the earth is no more. But those assurances, rest assured, will pass away. Your guarantee is only so good as the earth stands. God's assurances, on the other hand, are eternal. The Apostle Paul in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verses 38 and 39, says that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or things present or things to come, or powers or height or depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What a great assurance that we have. When Fanny Crosby wrote the words to the song that we sing sometime, Blessed Assurance, I think she got it right. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And did you ever notice, I didn't until recently, the exclamation point that is there in the song? When Fanny wrote that, she put an exclamation point after that. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Another exclamation point. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. She mentions in this verse, washed in His blood. Are you washed in His blood today? Have you been? Without that, you're lost. Without the cleansing blood of Christ, without submitting to baptism in His name, you're lost. If you would consider that today, consider to be washed in the blood of Christ for the remission of your sins, as Peter promised on the day of Pentecost. This comes down to you and to me today. It is still in effect for you if you have not been washed in the blood. We give you an opportunity to do that as we stand and sing today.